You're listening to the Washington AI Network podcast, the winner of two 2025 Communicator Awards, one for excellence in the science and technology category and an award of distinction for our episode on healthcare AI, featuring tech legends Ted Leonsis and Grant Verstandig.
I'm Tammy Haddad with the Washington AI Network here at NVIDIA GTC right in Washington, D.C. What could be better than that? Ronnie Vashista is here with us. Thank you for being here. And you're in charge of the single most important thing that's going to change our whole world. That's telecom, 6G, et cetera. So yesterday, let's begin with the big announcement that Jensen made.
Yeah, so yesterday, and thank you for saying that, by the way, I appreciate it. Yesterday, Jensen talked about two things. One is the availability of a new computer called an Aerial Research Computer. Aerial RAN Computer. Aerial RAN Computer is a computer designed for wireless. This is a computer that is specifically able to really enable acceleration of the wireless network. But at the same time, it's built on the same computer infrastructure that all the other NVIDIA platforms are built on. But then the other part of the announcement was one of the first users of that Aerial RAN Computer, or ARC, is Nokia. Nokia, one of the leading telecom providers in the world, is now going to be writing their software on top of that telco stack on that ARC system.
Okay, how does that help me? Sorry to make it about me, Ronnie.
All right, let me explain how it helps you. So when you and I connect on our phones in 5G, we've been traditionally downloading, watching videos, connecting on data, etc. As we move forward into 6G, that is going to change. We have a host of new type of experiences that are coming. But also there's limited spectrum. So now you have tens of billions of devices going to hundreds of billions of devices. You want a quality of experience. For that, you need a computer that can service that. Also, one other thing is that you really have built the telecommunications network off one single purpose computer in the past. All it did was wireless. This computer runs AI and wireless at the same time. It's the first time you're able to do that.
So that means that my phone calls won't drop? Does that mean that I'll be able to get pictures on my phone faster? And what about security?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me take the last one first. So in terms of security, by adding AI into that computer, by adding AI into the network, you're now able to use AI for security. That gives you a much better security profile for any threats. The second thing is about connectivity. As we move forward, as I said, with spectrum, there's only a limited amount of spectrum in the air to push all these bits over. So your connection, your connectivity can drop, etc. So what we're able to do by adding AI in this network also is you're able to improve the spectral efficiency. That moves, push more bits through the air.
You know, you're a popular man in Washington, D.C. because people here love talking about spectrum and limited right. spectrum. So basically you're saying you're building on top of the existing spectrum. You don't have to wait to bid for something, and that'll help consumers at home and businesses.
Yeah. So there's two things. One is, as the CTIA issued a report this year, they said at the end of 2027, we're going to be 10 exabytes per month short on spectrum. So we need both things. We need more spectrum available, but you need to be much more spectrally efficient. So both of those things go hand in glove.
And does that work together with the supercomputers that, again, Jensen announced the deals with the labs to build these supercomputers? Are you explaining that there'll be almost like a new network on top of the existing network so that those kinds of supercomputers will connect?
Yeah, so one thing that is at the base of all that we do is hardware infrastructure. As I said, the same computers that run the wireless network are essentially the same computer technology that goes into supercomputing. All these new scientific discoveries that come in supercomputers, that really is how the physical manifestation of that in robots or other things is how we connect. But the connection of supercomputers is also through more of a broadband wired connection.
Okay.
A lot of fiber needs to go in the ground to scale across.
Excellent. Okay, so let's take a look at what we've got here. This is, it's Siona, the research kit, right? Because we want to show people how exactly all of this has changed and you're featuring here at GTC.
Yeah, sure. Siona Research Kit is really, the aim of this is to democratize wireless research. For many years, wireless research has been really the few people have been able to engage. And the reason is because you need costly equipment. You need to do over-the-air testing. But what we've been able to do is put all of that research capability into this case. So if you take just, for instance, this DGX Spark. In 2016, Jensen delivered the first supercomputer to OpenAI. Take all of that functionality and move a few years ahead, that all now fits into that.
He now carries that one over to OpenAI, or is he taking it to Perplexity to other places?
There's a slightly bigger capability now that we take to those companies.
Yes.
But what we're able to do with that Siona research kit, and now the rest of this, is really to simulate a full radio base station. And this map you see here, we're able to see different parts, in this case of the US, and the deployment of radio base stations, and simulate how that wireless traffic will be across the US in real time. So in one city, like in Washington, we're panning in here on the convention center that we're in, you can see how the radio base stations are deployed. And now you can see all the RF traces, the radio frequency traces, that now are able to be simulated. So you can do all your experimentation in this kit, and you can simulate how it would be deployed in the real world. First time ever.
Wow. Will that prevent, I hate to say this, bring it up, but the event that happened about a month ago, AWS, the network went down, or the cloud services went down?
Slightly different problem.
Okay.
Yeah, this is more around over-the-air testing.
Right.
What we're seeing here is the ability to simulate how buildings, how roads, how weather, how foliage affect the connectivity with mobile phones. Mm-hmm. And as you're doing research and you want to include those effects in your research for your new algorithms, that's what you can do here.
Right, so you're helping startups.
We're helping researchers. Researchers around the world, could be startups, could be large corporations that are doing research, could be higher education research in universities. We have 350 institutions alone across the US that are using tools from NVIDIA to do their wireless research.
Okay, so I have to ask you, you came from the telecom side many years ago to NVIDIA. Did you ever imagine it would all end up like this?
Absolutely.
You did?
That's absolutely. No, I mean, the reality is there's a vision. Right. And in NVIDIA, we say the mission is the boss. We all had a vision and a mission, but there's a lot of obstacles that one needs to go through to make that happen. But this is true to our vision.
But you're always teaching people about it, too. So you're a little bit a professor. Call you Professor 6G?
You could call me whatever you like.
Okay.
It's the first time I've been called that, I must say. But what I will say is that there is an educational process. But the key thing is connecting with users and developers. If you connect with developers, if you give them something that they need, the educational process is actually a lot less because they have a passion for what they're doing and we have to enable them to do their life's work. That's what we try to do.
And you work so closely with the national labs.
Right.
Yeah. And next year, with the expansion of those relationships, is there anything you want to give us a hint about that we should look forward to? I mean, this was an incredible announcement, but is there anything we should look forward to?
Yeah, so what I would say is national labs are very dependent upon the infrastructure of AI and the use of AI. So what we have to look forward to is some of the amazing outputs of those labs. Some of the work that we're going to be doing in research in wireless, for instance, I think that that will really start to show itself in the 6G standards that are right now in development and in discussion. The key thing is take those discussions, but demonstrate them. Up until now, it hasn't been possible to demonstrate those.
One final question. So when you're sitting at a bar or waiting to get into your room at a hotel, and someone asks you what you do, and you say you're at NVIDIA, and you explain all of this, and they say they're desperately afraid of AI, what do you tell them?
Okay. Well, first I'll tell them I'm Professor 6G.
Okay, so I gave you a good title.
That's right.
This is good. Tell Jensen I came up with this title, okay?
So that conversation may not go on for long if I tell them that. But what I would say is that AI is inevitable. We all need AI. The productivity improvements created by AI are just so dramatic. The world needs AI. Now what we've got to do is just make sure that the AI is safe.
Well, that's terrific. Ronnie, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. And good luck with Professor. You could compete now with Professor G, Scott Galloway, and, you know, you get your own podcast and do all this in your free time.
Okay, you'll give me a lot. I'll think about that in my free time.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
I am here with Kimberly Powell, who's the head of healthcare at NVIDIA. Can you imagine a more important job in AI? I'm so glad to be here with you because everyone thinks that AI is going to help on healthcare, change all of our lives. Deepu told me we're going to live to be 100.
I think he's right.
Okay,
I think we're
great.
Working on it.
All right. So what are you seeing now in healthcare that's going to change everything?
Well, there's really three things, Tammy. The World Health Organization has told us that we're going to be about 1 million healthcare professionals short in just the next couple of years. We've got to meet this with AI. AI can help do three pretty simple things if you think about it. It can help us see, so it can help us read through radiology images, find those areas that have anomalies and identify those with the radiologist and make sure that we're getting the best detection, diagnosis, and treatment plans for patients. So it can help us see. It can also help doctors hear. Actually, and patients here too. We're able to now take speech recognition and marry them up with large language models and build these agentic AI systems that you're hearing about that can take a conversation between a doctor and a patient, digitize that into the medical note, and actually after that medical note is created, it can help us schedule our next appointment, get us pre-authorized for
agentic.
A procedure with using agents. Mm-hmm. And so we're working with an amazing community of new startup companies who are developing really critical applications in this space.
I loved your quote that a hospital is a robot. Can
yeah.
you explain that?
That's the third piece. So
okay.
we can help doctors see, we can help doctors hear, but we also need to help doctors and nurses do. Okay, and the doing part is really taking action. And this is where you take AI and you want to embody it into a physical thing. And that physical thing could be an operating room. Can I have cameras in the operating room telling me what's going on? What phase of surgery are we in so I can prepare the next patient and the next surgical team in time? So operational efficiency, when you kind of think about the OR as an artificial intelligence. Medical devices, surgical robots are going to become intelligent and start to take action on their own.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
What are we looking at?
What we're seeing here is, now this is for developers. This is just a couple hundred dollars where you can put a system like this together. It marries up being able to simulate the robot and actually teach the robot in a computer first, everything it needs to know before it ever gets deployed to the real world. And you can teach it all these corner cases, which is otherwise hard to do when you're only practicing in the real world, right? You need to see all the corner cases and build that into the intelligence. And so first you do it in simulation, and then you need, really it takes three different computers to do it. You
wow.
simulate, you have to build the AIs, and then you have to deploy them onto a real-time computer that, you know, he's looking for the tool, this tool, he can then go and pick up this tool and place it into the tray, for example. And so this is the beginnings of how we're gonna teach robots to exist within the healthcare environment and start helping do tasks.
Are there systems in place now where doctors can learn this, or nurses, the whole community? Because you're talking about very, very sophisticated AI.
This actually is getting so much easier to do. We'll take a look at some of the systems
okay.
where, look at this little computer over here. everything that you need to train and actually run this robot can be done on this little computer. NVIDIA helps build all of the software tools. It's all in open source so that anybody can really get access to it. So we're seeing high school students pick it up, college students.
That's incredible.
And medical centers.
So we're looking at in real time, this is what you'd normally be looking at. But now you see all of it.
This is really how we're helping doctors see. So these are new algorithms that actually can look at an image. If you're a radiologist or otherwise, you're kind of coming in with, I'm feeling a symptom and I'm going to go look to see what I can understand of that symptom. Well, I think the future of medical imaging and radiology should be anytime you get an image, there should just be a whole bunch of AI looking across the entire image, not just for that one symptom you have, but for anything else that might be present in that image. So here you're seeing an AI that can segment the entire anatomy of the human body. It's whole body segmentation. And so it can really help us use artificial intelligence to do full screening, not just maybe a narrow look at the problem, but have a bigger view of the patient, and that will help doctors throughout the whole process.
Mm-hmm. And what about nurses? How can this change nursing? Is it just quick access to results, testing results, or how a patient feels? I mean, there'll be monitoring of actual patients in rooms?
I think we're gonna help nurses in tremendous ways. As I described, you can now use camera systems to be the eyes to help nurses see if a patient is gonna be getting out of bed and potentially at risk at fall and intervene in that. So patient monitoring is absolutely one. Another one is oftentimes nurses are coming in and they're doing a lot of typing. Instead of typing, they can actually use, just like you can talk to your phone and it can go off and do some work for you, do a Google search, make a phone call for you, they are going to be able to use that same speech recognition system to do a lot of the charting and the things that they need to do so they can have more focus on the patients instead of doing all of that typing. So we just, again, back to the helping them be able to see and helping them hear and do is really what artificial intelligence is doing.
And let's talk a little bit about drug discovery, because that's the other amazing area that's moving so fast. What are you seeing?
Yeah, as we've experienced with this new breakthrough in large language models, our language is built by a sequence of characters, right? And they're words and they have spaces in between, but it's really a sequence. Actually, biology is also just a sequence of characters, right? Your human genome is yours because it has a unique sequence of 3 billion characters all in one row. Mm-hmm. But those 3 billion letters define you and the color of your eyes. And so we're now able to take the same methods that we did for natural language and apply it to the language of biology. And so actually last year, the Nobel Prize was awarded to the breakthrough of a model called AlphaFold. AlphaFold it's a category defining model that solved what is otherwise a 50-year-old biology problem, which is how do we understand the structure of proteins, predict the structure of proteins? Because a protein is really what is telling your body what you're going to do and if you're going to become into a disease state or not. And you want to get a medicine in there. It's like a lock and a key. So if you understand the 3D structure of a protein, you can then build medicines that can stop it from doing that bad behavior. Mm-hmm. So that structure prediction was able to be done by a sequence and predicting into its 3D structure. Otherwise, the method to do that was using an instrument that is the size of a refrigerator, costs many millions of dollars, could take a PhD student their entire PhD to get one protein structure. We now can put in a sequence and within a matter of seconds predict at experimental accuracy, so mm-hmm. like you were using that instrument, in a computer. And so that's the true breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. Can you believe you get to do this every day with these incredible people?
I'm honored to do it because we don't do it alone. As you know, NVIDIA collaborates with an enormous energized ecosystem from drug discoverers to surgical robotics engineers, all the way through to the healthcare professionals that we talked about at the beginning.
Well, Kimberly, we are so happy to talk to you. Thank you for all the work you're
doing.
Thank
you so much for your interest, Tammy.
I'm Pranav Gokhale. I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Inflection.
Pranav, it's so great to meet you. Tell us what we're looking at.
I can give a little walkthrough of what you're seeing. We think that this quantum computer here is a big picture of the future of computing. What you're seeing in a nutshell is two things. First off, quantum computing is made up of qubits, which are the world of the very small. And in that little glass piece that's tinted orange in the center, we put our qubits. In our case, our qubits are atoms. And we've actually set the world record commercially with this device. We've achieved 1,600 atoms, where each atom is a qubit. And everything around it is the lasers and the photons and the cameras that operate this machine. And what we're very excited to announce this week is the connection between QPU and GPU in close partnership with NVIDIA. As we scale up these systems, these QPUs are going to sit on top of GPUs the same way that GPUs sat on top of CPUs. And together, this new compute fabric unlocks important applications in material science, AI, cryptography, etc.
What about the encryption issues? Because here in Washington, we're always focused on quantum as a true gift. On the other hand, it changes everything. Can you explain that?
Yeah, sure. So it is indeed one of the double-edged swords of quantum. It brings these amazing breakthroughs in material science, etc. But it also has a dark side, which is that a quantum computer at scale can break modern encryption, or the RSA key system, for instance. Even the encryption system, the signatures for Bitcoin, are vulnerable to quantum attack. We actually last month, for the first time ever, showed on this machine a demonstration of this Shor's algorithm that does decryption. And it, by the way, our intent is not to wreak havoc on encryption. We worked very closely with the usual suspects in the U.S. intelligence community to make sure that they prepare for this and aren't caught off guard and have an adversary do this before us. So that was what we've been showing on this machine. It is one of the less savory aspects of quantum computing, but we want to make sure that the industry is prepared for it in advance instead of being caught back-footed.
Now that you've got those GPUs, how much has that changed things? Now that sounds like a promotional thing, but that's actually a question of research and advancement.
It's been a wonderful relationship and partnership. We started working with them in 2022. And since then, a few things have happened. First, the Gen AI revolution, and that directly affects how we actually operate our machine. Our software engineers who write code to run quantum programs use Gen AI technology running on GPU every hour of every day. That accelerates our productivity dramatically. But now, actually, at the core operating principle of this machine, it's deeply intertwined with GPU. One of the things in these quantum computers are they're very fragile and they accumulate errors. And the GPU is good at detecting those errors and correcting them. So to run a computation that lasts a minute instead of 10 nanoseconds, we need to have this close interchange between GPU. And so it's been a really great partnership. I think the last thing I'll add here is that as our customers develop their computing capabilities, they have GPUs already, and now they can leverage that GPU to upgrade to the quantum era too. We've sold three of these machines, and all of our customers have a strong GPU foundation to build off of, and this relationship really advances that.
And now I'm here with my friend Deepu Talla, NVIDIA's VP of Robotics and Edge AI.
And we're looking at this autonomous robot. This is an unexpected thing.
This is a company, Field AI, one of our partners, who are building general purpose AI for locomotion navigation. Fully autonomously, the robot is able to go into especially like dangerous job sites and to do autonomous inspection. It comes with multiple sensors. You can see cameras on it. You can see LiDAR in there. You can see radar and other sensors. Using what's called a field foundation model, this robot is able to navigate autonomously into sites that was not possible until very recently.
Are you having fun at GTC in DC? We're so glad to have you back in town.
Oh, amazing. I mean, it's so good to be here in DC. And as Jensen said yesterday, you know, we'd love to come back every year to show some of the greatest things that are happening in technology and AI.
I told Kimberly Powell that you promised that we would be able to live an extra 100 years. Since she's in charge of the healthcare side, she totally agreed with you.
I absolutely think so. There's no reason why we should not be living a lot longer, and because of advancements we'll have in AI, we'll discover new drugs, discover new materials that we can put inside our bodies, and then robots are of course going to be helping us do all the, you know, mundane, heavy and things, boring things that we do not want to do ourselves. A combination of all of that, I'm absolutely certain.
Deepu Talla, it's so great to be back with you. Come back to DC often and bring your robots.
Absolutely, Tammy. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for listening to the Washington AI Network podcast. Be sure to subscribe and join the conversation. The Washington AI Network is a bipartisan forum bringing together the top leaders and industry experts to discuss the biggest opportunities and the greatest challenges around AI. The Washington AI Network podcast is produced and recorded by Haddad Media.